called Daily Lift, L-I-F-T. It's a superfoods energy drink mix supplement that fills the gaps between what you eat and what you don't always have time to eat. This unique formula is packed with 16-plus fruits and vegetables and 59 superfoods. No MSG or GMO. It's all natural and organic. Nature's best combination of antibiotics, enzymes, probiotics, and beneficial allergies in one powdered drink mix. Comes in two flavors, mint and berry, and both delicious. Daily Lift nutrients help balance your body's pH levels and boost your energy naturally. And it's safe for kids. So let's fire up that immune system and stay focused. Go to www.onedailylift.com. That's one, O-N-E, dailylift.com. Onedailylift.com, and let's get healthy.
To be able to have UN convoys in order to reach eastern Aleppo, and frankly, from the south also, west Aleppo, all Syrians are in need.
A UN spokesman reiterating the call for a ceasefire to allow the United Nations to bring much-needed support to citizens of Aleppo. Citizens within the city have been trapped by fierce fighting between government rebels and government forces. Many of those civilians have no clean drinking water, food, or medicine. A couple in California that killed a woman and took their three children before releasing two of them have been arrested in Colorado with good news about the remaining child.
Along with the suspects, the 1.5-year-old Madison was taken into protective custody by Pueblo Police Department.
No arrest yet in the murder of two Catholic nons in Mississippi. Sister Paula Merrill and Sister Margaret Held were found stabbed at their home. It's a crime that shocked the small town of Durant. The two nons were nurse practitioners who provided health care at a clinic. USA Radio News.
Any Joe Schmo knows Geico will work to save you money on car insurance. But since money talks, why not just ask the savings?
That's me, Joe Savings. I'm not literally $1 million, but I feel like it. Why? Because when Joe switched his car insurance at Geico.com, his monthly rate went
about. Tennis lovers are going to be descending on New York for the U.S. Open, and this year the U.S. Open has a lot of unusual food choices for those in attendance. Here's Scott Pringle.
There are dozens of food stands covering food from several different countries throughout the Billie Jean King National Tennis Center, and eating is very popular among the tennis fans while they follow that little green ball. Very expensive as well. There are 17 new food stands this year, Chef David Burke.
We have three concepts at the U.S. Open this year. We have BLT Prime by David Burke. We also have two fast casual sections of restaurant concepts here. One is called Angry Taco, and the other one is BLT Fish Shack.
There will be vegan and vegetarian concessions for the first time. Scott Pringle, New York.
And speaking of food, a young man is being praised for going above and beyond to provide food for his local police department. Here's the story.
William Everts had saved his allowance for 7 months to buy a Power Wheels police cruiser, but his mom Tara says he scrapped that plan after seeing a YouTube video about a homeless person.
Next thing you know, it was, I want to help the kids, I want to help the police.
So the first grader spent his hard-earned money at Subway buying sandwiches for police in Winslow Township. They were blown away, so they gave William, an aspiring cop, police badges, a uniform shirt, and police car stickers. Sarah Lee Kent, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
Get more news and analysis at westernjournalism.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Well, let's talk about the weather on this, actually, last Friday in the month of August. I guess so. Next weekend, we're celebrating Labor Day weekend, and we're going to certainly have a hot weekend for the last weekend in August, the last full weekend in August. And the temperature tomorrow was going to be high of about 90. Today they said, was earlier they said it was 92. Now they're saying 91. Frankly, it felt like 100 out there, especially in the sun. But tonight, mostly clear. Tomorrow, sunny. Again, mostly clear tomorrow night. And then again, Sunday, it will be a sunny day. So we're really looking, at least in this area, to have great weather for the weekend if you like it hot. And there's going to be not much wind, at least in this area. Hopefully people at the shore who are, you know, trying to do some sailing will have more wind. And there's not much other than a slight chance of showers on Monday and maybe some thunderstorms in the morning. Mostly sunny, however, Monday, with a high near 89 degrees. And only about a 20% chance of rain. Again, Tuesday, mostly sunny. Wednesday, again, mostly sunny. Really looks like a nice week. Could be warm. Temperatures about 90 degrees. So that can, if you're in the sun, depending on the humidity, it can be pretty warm. Well, I'm Pat Smiths, and of course, it's Friday, 5 o'clock, a few minutes after. And this program is The Sports Guys. I know that Bill Wolfson isn't going to make the program today, and hopefully John Manfreda will be here, but I'm going to hold down the fort. So what's happening? Well, those of us who are sports junkies, we just got over the Olympics, and now the U.S. Open is going to be starting this week, and that will be it's really fun. If you've never been to a U.S. Open, it's a fun experience. And even if you're not a great tennis player, I mean, certainly all the tennis players in the world want to go to the U.S. Open at one time or another. I have to say, to be honest, in some ways I'd much rather watch a football game. I think you can really see more at a football game. I don't know. Arthur Ashe Stadium, although it's a beautiful stadium, and everybody loved Arthur Ashe, if you're up in the nosebleed, yeah, you're really not seeing much of the action. It's really difficult to see what's going on. Football fields today, not only can you, at least I do spend a lot of time at Lambeau. Those of you who know me know I spend a lot of time at Lambeau. And I don't think there really are any bad seats at Lambeau. The only time I've had what I would consider a bad seat is I was sitting on the aisle right above where everybody came out and walked right by me to get up to their seats. And so, you know, at Lambeau, was constant. Someone was making a beer run, you know, every 2 seconds. So that really wasn't a good seat. It looked like it was going to be a good seat. It was on about the 40th yard line. But it really wasn't a good seat. Worst seat, in fact, I ever had. And I've sat a lot of times in the end zone. I would prefer not sitting low in the end zone. It's better to sit high. But in any event, when you're at the U.S. Open, the seats really, the seats at top or near the top are quite a ways from the tennis court. So I always suggest to take binoculars, and, of course, get the best seats that you can get. But it's quite a day. I understand that this year they're going to have 17 new food stands. So you literally spend the whole day, eating, drinking, watching tennis. It's a fun place to go. It's as I said, everybody should take the opportunity to go there at least once. I really had the opportunity to go this week. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to. I guess sometimes work gets in the way of having fun, although I'm not sure it should. But that's going to be really fun to watch, fun to see the up-and-coming youngsters, fun to see some of the people that we considered youngsters who are now the elder statesmen of the game. And it's pretty easy to direct your own, how you're going to handle it, where you're going to go. You can, even if sometimes the center court is not the most fun to watch. There are always matches going on, and if not, there's always a lot of ambiance and fun, either sitting inside or outside, depending on the weather, at some of the eating establishments. So if you have an opportunity, I strongly suggest that you take the opportunity to go, and I'm really disappointed that I had to not be able to go this year. So what else is happening? Well, of course, football. You know, football this year, the preseason has started. There's still some people being traded. There's still some people being arrested. There's still, you know, some questions. First-round draft choice for San Diego. I haven't followed today or maybe yesterday as to, you know, what he was going to do since he couldn't come to an agreement with San Diego with respect to his contract. But today I'd like to, at least until John comes in, talk a little bit more about some fundamentals of football, because I think that it helps. The more you learn about football, you know, it really is helpful. It helps, you know, to learn the game, to be able to figure out, you know, who's there, who's doing what. And just in case John is going to come in shortly, I'm going to play a couple of our spots from our sponsors so I don't have to spend a lot of time, you know, playing spots when he gets here. So just stay with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Okay, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, and I'm going to talk about some fundamentals of football because I'm still waiting for John, and hopefully he'll be here. But otherwise, I think it's important to for all of us to kind of think about fundamentals, and for those of us to who love football, to teach football to the next generation. And to teach it, you have to understand, or even to understand it, you have to understand, you know, who's on the field and what they're doing. And so today I wanted to talk to you about running backs and some fundamentals about running backs. Well, first of all, what is their job description? And I think that's, you know, the first thing someone has to know. And certainly for kids who are playing football, they need to know if they're, you know, going into either offensive, defensive. I mean, people realize that, you know, there's a defense on the field and there's an offense on the field. But what about the running back? Well, first of all, of course, we know that one of a running back's main concerns is to protect the ball by receiving the quarterback's handoff properly. I mean, you know, if the quarterback is handing off, they need to know how to do that. So, you know, that's a fundamental. They also have to be very smart, and I'll tell you why. But the running back has a responsibility on every play to not only know every play like the quarterback, but also make physical contact on virtually every down. And so there are people like, there are a number of people who would say that running backs have the toughest job on the football field. So they also have to be, and I think that probably most people would agree with me, that they have to, on most teams at least, the running back is the best athlete on the team and really needs to be the best athlete on the team because of the demands, both physical and mental, are really, pretty tremendous. And they need more skills than other players at other positions because on any given play, the running back may run the ball, catch a pass, or block an opposing player. And, you know, sometimes they're even called upon to throw a pass or kick the ball. So to help appreciate what running backs do, we'll talk about some of the important, what goes into the important plays that they participate in. First of all, of course, the stance. I mean, how do they line up? And every running back has to at least be able to line up in the right stance. What they call the tailback in the I formation often uses the two-point stance with his hands on his thighs, his feet shoulder width apart, and his weight on the balls of his feet so that, you really have to go into depth on this to understand exactly what the stances are, and we'll certainly talk about that at some point. But the runner must, of course, receive the football from the quarterback without fumbling. I mean, this is crucial, critical. To do this properly, he has to, with his arms, must form a pocket outside his stomach. And he has to be able to do that handoff. If he's right-handed, he bends his left arm at the elbow at a 90-degree angle and keeps his forearm parallel to the ground. That it's important to know. I mean, right and left-handed running back are not going to handle it the same way. So why would he have to always be ready? Because even though, and we think we know that a quarterback calls a certain play, and of course all the team members need to be aware that what that play entails. However, they also have to realize that maybe the quarterback will say something or see something. I shouldn't say something. See something different, see a problem, and decide instead of a long pass downfield, he needs to hand off to the running back. So the running back always has to be aware of exactly what's happening on the field. So they also have to, in addition to running, being able to take a handoff, of course, they need, ideally, a running back is someone who needs to run at top speed whenever he grabs a handoff. And, I mean, really top speed is so important because he needs to get away. He needs to get downfield. So that he doesn't want to be blocked, he doesn't want to be tackled. He really wants to be able to move and really has to move. So that there's also, of course, they often have to block. The running back really has to watch the whole field. They have to have really great peripheral vision. They have to be very smart to figure out how they're going to escape from the defenses, from the defense. I mean, it's just really important. How can they stay out of trouble? How can they go ahead and escape from any, when we're starting to run into trouble, for example? And probably the other thing is I don't ever quite understand how the backs can see what they see. I mean, it almost seems sometimes as if they have two eyes in the back of their head. And I suppose I'm being a bit facetious, but not really, because they need to see what's coming at him from the corners of the field and, hopefully with exceptional speed he can gain many more yards before seeing where the defense is coming from. So you really need to try to put this all together in a space where it can be handled and that the players that around him are also going to shine because of the way he's handling everything. So they, as I said, they also have to block for another back. The principal running back is really a good blocker, if that could be part of one of his skills, would be terrific. It would just, because as most of us know, the best blockers among the backs are the fullbacks, who are asked to block players 20, 30, 50, 100 pounds heavier than they are. The running back, more of his job description, as I said, he's on the field. He never has a minute to let up. Never has a chance to take a playoff. He can't, when he doesn't have the ball, however, he has to follow through with his fakes and pretend that he has the ball. Okay, so let's take a short break and for some news, and then we'll be back with some more sports. Well, I can't seem to pick up the news, and I think we can. So we'll probably hear what's going on in politics. Most of us are pretty sick of it, but let's hear it.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We're going to ask the citizens to continue to pray for his family and his small children, especially for the men and women of this department. We're most grateful. for the outpouring of love and support that's been given to us.
Maryville, Tennessee Police Chief Tony Crisp speaking about Officer Kenny Motes, who was shot dead after answering a domestic violence call. The slain officer leaves behind three children. Chief Crisp says the person who shot Motes surrendered at the scene and will be brought to justice.
People who speak out against radical Islam and who warn about refugees are not Islamophobes.
Donald Trump responding to accusations by the Clinton campaign that he and others who oppose the flooding of Islamic immigrants into the country are homophobes. Trump said national security should not be something given up in the name of allowing unfettered immigration. More news online at usaradio.com.
Imagination, the theater of the mind. Classic radio theater, the program that doesn't make you think, but to feel, imagine, believe. Find the podcasts at usaradio.com. I'm Wyatt Cox, and no two people see Fibber McGee's Closet the same. Or Jack Benny's Maxwell. No one saw Charlie McCarthy as a wooden dummy, but a real boy.
Now, if you say help me, I'll mow you down.
And Matt Dillon. People didn't see William Conrad, but a Western icon.
It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Let your imagination run wild by visiting usaradio.com and click on the classic radio theater icon. That's usaradio.com.
Hey, we're back with the sports guys. Looks like I might be going it alone today. Just got a message from John that he's had somewhat of an emergency. So we'll finish up the program and talk about basics of football, because I think that's what hopefully there'll be a few things that maybe I'll learn if you don't. As I said, no matter, you know, how fast an athlete or, you know, how quick or how big, you know, nobody will be able to play a running back if he doesn't have a real brain and or if he can't think quickly on his feet. I mean, this is one of the main reasons why many outstanding college players never make the professional football because the pro game is simply overloads their brains. I mean, and why do I say that? Well, in college, coaches give a great high school running back a scholarship, and they know they will have him most of the time for 4 years. Now, it doesn't look good for your program if you end up begging a player to come to your school and then cut him or take away his scholarship because he doesn't live up to your expectations. And, you know, that's why we say that most of the time the college coach has the player for 4 years. Now, they could, of course, leave after three to go to the pros, but that's going to be an exceptional person. So now, of course, the difference for the running backs who make it into professional sports is that although they can be signed to big contracts, teams always cut them and lose nothing when they do. I mean, I shouldn't say they lose nothing. I suppose they can lose a few weeks, a few days, a few weeks of coaching time, and to them, what is a few dollars. So such dismissals are viewed simply as today as bad money deals or bad investments. So it's not a big deal if someone is cut if they're not making it. Now, of course, no one wants to have to cut their first, draft choice, first, second, third draft choice. But sometimes that's exactly what they have to do when the college running back can't make it into the professional arena. And it happens it happens a lot, obviously. Now, so when a head coach finds a runner who can run for more than 1,000 yards a season and score when he needs to
and carry the team when the quarterback is not having a great day. That coach knows that he has a winner, and we know as football fans that that person is the real winner. And so when, of course, we know that the running back, when he's on the field, he never really has a minute to let up. He never has a chance to do anything other than, go through the – he can't afford to line up and merely go through the motions. If he doesn't have the ball, he has to follow through with his fakes and pretend that he does have the ball. And, a good I know I'm an avid football fan, and I think I'm pretty good, but there are some really good running backs that, you'll obviously sit there watching the running back, and the running back doesn't have the ball. And I think it's happened to all of us at some point or another. So, of course, on every play, the running back has to know what down it is and how many yards the team needs for that first down. And it is amazing, both the quarterbacks and running backs, the real good ones. I mean, they will make just enough yardage if it's tight to make that first down. And, of course, we can talk about first downs at some point because we're talking fundamentals. But a first down, of course, it's 10 yards between first down. And there's a first down, a second down, a third down. And then, of course, a fourth down. Most of the time, a team will not try to make a first down if they're on the fourth down, unless it's short, unless there's some other reason. But usually that's when the ball is punted. And that is, of course, basics. And anyone who doesn't know football, if you're at a football field, you'll be able to see the refs on the sideline going down the sideline with the sticks, and they measure if there's a question about whether or not something is a first down. So if the running back, however, obviously needs to know what down it is, how many yards a team needs for first down. He needs to know when to lower his shoulder and go for the first down, and also when to keep the drive alive by making a move and gaining a little extra yardage and helping his team move into scoring range. So there's a lot on the shoulders of the running back. He also must know the time on the clock in order to know when to go out of bounds and when to turn upfield to gain extra yardage. Stopping the clock can be critical when a team is behind and they need to spend as much time on the field. They have the ball. They need to really spend as much time as possible in order to, make points. And, of course, a good and I guess even a mediocre running back needs to know the defense's various alignments and then adjust his thinking to those alignments on pass plays and on running plays. So on a pass play, of course, the running back must know the protection scheme because he may be asked to throw a block to give the quarterback time to pass. And that's not at all unusual. That the only thing we see is the play, we don't really see exactly how it's being set up. It's interesting to try to figure that out and to make sure that we can spot whether it's going to be a pass play or running. Now, he also, as I said, he needs to know every play and all the variations. Now, on a running play, the running back must know the opposition's defensive scheme so he can protect and predict what the defender will be doing and who will be the first one over the line. He must know every pass route because he has to be the first, he may be the first receiving option on a play. So he needs to know the defense's coverage in order to adjust his route or route, depending on how you're talking and what part of the country you're from. For example, if the linebacker goes out, He may have to go in and vice versa. He must know how deep he has to get on every pass route, so he's timed up with the quarterback's drop. And because the quarterback may throw the ball before the runner turns to catch the ball, he must run the exact distance. If he doesn't, the timing of the play will be all messed up. And I think that's one of the most incredible things to watch, the pass plays, and to watch the back, the running back, just be in the right spot at the right time. So a typical NFL player may, has to know the playbook too. And in the typical NFL playbook can contain playbook may have between 50 and 100 running plays. I mean, they just have tremendous number of plays that they have to not only understand, they have to memorize, but they also do have to understand. So the play will either specify the hole number to be designated for a specific hole. Holes which are numbered are the only thing that tell the running back where he's supposed to run with the ball. So that's what he has to do. He has to figure out where he's supposed to run with the ball. And, to keep his team out front. So we'll talk about a few more minutes. I'm going to play a couple commercials, and we may actually stop a little early today, because I'm pretty much out of anything to talk about running backs. We can talk about some other things, but let's talk and give you a few commercial breaks, and we'll be back, and at least I'll wrap up then.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Well, we're back. It's the Sports Guys, and your only sports guy today is Pat Smits. I've been talking a little bit about some fundamentals of football and, you know, the importance of the running backs and what they do and how they really need to be the most athletic person, and probably, quarterbacks have to be smart, but certainly they have to be smart, have to be able to think on their feet quickly. In fact, if you look at football today, almost every player really needs to be able to react very quickly. So that is one of the things that they really, you know, the offensive line at work is another thing, and it's not I know that I remember when Howie Long was with the Raiders in the 80s, and there were two offensive linemen that stuck out then. There was Anthony Munoz, a tackle for the Bengals, and Dwight Stephenson for the Dolphins, and he was their center. And unlike so many of the offensive linemen at the time, both were very athletic in addition to being rugged and physical. And so that is the ideal combination: rugged, physical, athletic, smart, so that, they need to move, they need to be able to run. I mean, they really need to run quickly, they need to be able to dodge. That was the point. You want your guys to be quicker than whoever is blocking you. And, the best job of offensive lineman, of course, is to protect the quarterback. And, we can certainly see when the line breaks down and quarterbacks get sacked. This happened a lot to Brett Favre. And certainly not as much, though, probably, as it's happened to Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers was getting sacked almost constantly. I think things are getting better. They were better last year, but it wasn't great. That's what they need to do. If they can protect the quarterback 100% of the time, which of course is impossible, they'll probably be the winning team. So that we've talked about the running back, running backs, running backs, of course, have come in all sizes and shapes. One of my favorites, running back, he was just phenomenal to watch, was Barry Sanders, who played for the Detroit Lions. And, he was considered a little guy. And just as Walter Payton, another great guy. He was another great running back. And he was, small. And former Buffalo Bill Thurman Thomas. And these were, they were all three were quick. They were slippery players. They excelled at a high level. And, just were pretty phenomenal. And then you would get Jim Brown, Earl Campbell. Remember, if you watched Earl Campbell play, great, great guy. John Riggins. And, of course, my favorite, Jimmy Taylor of the Green Bay Packers. These guys were big. They were big brutes, and they played that game. They played that, they were just phenomenal. And I still think that Barry Sanders was, in my book, probably the best, but then I would watch him beat the Packers year after year after year, or certainly carry the game. So the, of course, there would be the people, many of whom would say that Emmitt Smith was one of the greatest, going back to the mid-90s. There was one year when he scored 25 touchdowns, and I think he still holds the NFL record for yards gained. Could be wrong. Maybe that record has been broken, but if it has, it's just been in the last couple years. Jerome Bettis, you know, he was another guy. Now, some people said that, you know, he was, well, I think he was a fullback, but he was, in fact, the main runner on the team. And we can't forget somebody like Tony Dorsett, Marcus Allen, and there were other backs that I really am not familiar with. But these guys were really good. Now, some people would say, and I've always thought that you had to have extremely, you have to be very fast, really, you know, very speedy, you know, to play this position. But they would say that Marcus Allen only had average speed, and there were some talent scouts apparently who thought he was too slow to make it in the pros. And you know, there's an example of someone who had an outstanding career. I think he scored something like 145 touchdowns, gained well over 10,000 rushing yards, and in fact, you know, it's Allen, of course, was elected to the Football Hall of Fame on his first try in 2003. You know, he didn't dance east and west. He was just a straight north-south runner. And, you know, when trapped by defensive players, I remember, the quickest and best way to gain yards, according to Marcus, was to go straight ahead, and which, you know, the north-south runner does, and Marcus was kind of the epitome of that. And also, you know, sometimes the little guys, I saw Barry Sanders do it over and over and over, they just slip by opponents in the open field. They're difficult to grab hold of and to tackle, and, you know, as I said, Barry Sanders fell into that group. I mean, he really did. I saw him get out of more situations where you thought he was not going to make another yard. And I guess I didn't see Tony Dorsett much, but he was another guy who really seemed to be able to do it. And, you know, even some other people, of course, like, you know, they were slippery and slidey. And so you thought, oh, they've got to be their best running backs. And then you'd see someone like Jim Brown, and he just simply ran over everyone. So how can you say that the big guy can't play that? It really depends on the player. And, you know, Jim Brown just would run everybody down. And, you know, he didn't even care about tacklers, or didn't seem to care about tacklers missing him. He just ran right through them. And, you know, every coach, of course, looks for a big back who can run everyone over. I mean, that's kind of like, you know, it's also, but I think it's actually more fun to see the, you know, the Barry Sanders type who just can evade everyone and get out of, you know, just move around so they just look like they're on slippery ice. Everyone else looks like they're on slippery ice because they're falling all over the place, and he's just running through them. But, of course, the common denominator among all of these men is they were physically tough, they were determined, and they were talented football players. I mean, you have to be an extremely talented football player to make it as a running back. And, you know, of course, what some people who know a lot more about football than I do would say is that, any type of runner can be a good running back, provided he's playing in the right system and gets the kind of help he needs from his teammates. So, you know, that, I guess, could be said about almost every player of every sport. But it's especially true with the running back. I have to, of course, for my daughter, who's a huge Dallas football fan, talk a little bit about Tony Dorsett, the Heisman Trophy winner from the University of Pittsburgh, and he could return a kick, he could punt, he could intercept, and run for 100 yards or to score a touchdown. Of course, the longest possible run is 99 yards, I guess. But certainly, Tony Dorsett was one of those football players that did it all. And the other running back was supposed to often get the ball and the play designed for him, but he would misunderstood the quarterback's call and, Dallas had only 10 players on the field, and because of, quarterbacks can't do much blocking, there would be, not that many people on the field. Now, I'm talking about a game back in 1983, and Dorsett, was just, unbelievable. He was, of course, Dallas was coached by highly specialized and at that time, and really inventive, Tom Landry. Hate to say it, but he did a lot of. He was a good coach. He really was an excellent coach, and so what happened is Dorsett just ended up, being a phenomenal player for that team, and that run back in '83, I think, still stands for the longest run from the line of scrimmage in NFL history. It may have been equalized, but I don't think so. At least I don't remember that it has. One of the things that everybody needs to watch, and it's fun to watch different players as the game is progressing. I think too many people just watch the quarterback, and if they're passing, just kind of try to watch the quarterback and watch the guy who catches the ball. It's often, and I think it's much easier, of course, when you're at the game to kind of pinpoint what else is happening, because so often I think television restricts the view. In fact, I know it does, but it's often really more interesting to see what else is happening on the field, to see how everybody is playing their positions and if they're not. And, also, of course, it's fun to watch the guys on the field. It's, and of course, everybody who knows me has heard that, my favorite player to watch was Brett Favre, the quarterback, because whether he was on the field or on the sidelines, he was infectious. He was so much fun to watch. And of course, there's another player who got into the Hall of Fame on the first vote. We all expected that. In fact, if you didn't watch the induction this year in Canton, it was well worth watching. Some of the players I knew, some of them I didn't know as well. And I think Brett was the last one, of course, so we all had to stay up until 1 in the morning. But he had a very effective speech, probably took at least 35 minutes, real tribute to his dad and his family and to Deanna, who, believe me, deserves every bit of it. And but it was classic Favre. It really was. And I know that there's a lot to criticize Brett about, but, he's certainly... was, I don't know if there'll be ever, well, I guess you can never say ever, but he's certainly the quarterback that I had the most fun watching. I think Aaron Rodgers is actually a better quarterback, but nobody was as much fun as Brett Favre to watch. Now, we shall, you know, see that, you know, we shall see in the future. But they seem to, actually, Rodgers is fun to watch, and he seems to have a, you know, a good demeanor. He seems to have a great relationship with his team. I think he's a real leader. I think he's certainly, in the character, from a character standpoint, has, excuse me, has a, you know, character that seems to be much, certainly better than so many of the players. And, you know, I think that he's proven, he unfortunately had to prove a lot. You know, he had to sit around. Everybody thought he would be drafted sooner. Packers didn't need him because they had Favre, but they picked, and they really picked the best. And it's paid off. He got to sit behind Favre. Excuse me. And watch it. I know I keep coming back to I guess I'm going to have to play a commercial.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
I think I'm going to play one more spot and then go to rewind because I'm I'm just not getting it together today with my voice. So thanks everybody for listening, and hopefully I'm not sure we're going to be here next week on Friday, but if not, have a great Labor Day weekend. Enjoy yourselves, and we'll certainly be back in early September, and we'll have all the sports guys here.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Well, I guess I can come back on and remind everybody that this is the Hunterdon County 4-H Fair is on this week. A couple other things that are going on. This week, I know they have a fiddle contest tomorrow at Howell Farm. And if you haven't been at, if you haven't visited Howell Farm, especially if you have kids or grandkids, it's a public, it's actually right over the line on Route 29 where the workhouse, you turn where the workhouse is, that road. And it's up that road a few miles. It's so it's in Mercer County. It's a historical farm. Everything is done with horses, and they are, you know, for example, this past weekend there was a potato picking, or I should say potato digging, but not much digging. It was hot, but hundreds of pounds of potatoes, if not thousands of pounds of potatoes, are planted each year and then harvested and sent to the Trenton food pantry and for distribution. And It's so much fun to see the kids come out where they're out there picking up the potatoes. What will happen is the horse will go through with the plow and they'll do a furrow. So it's really a matter of not digging them up. It's more walking around walking along the rows and picking them up and putting them into bushel baskets. But the kids have so much fun. And then what they do is they have someone who's making potato chips. So the kids get to take a potato up and have their own potato made into potato chips. And they really have educational fun. And, of course, it's worthwhile because there's a lot of food that is good food going to the food banks. So that was last weekend. And I know that this weekend there's a fiddle contest starting at, I believe it's at noon tomorrow.